You're listening to DraftKings Network.
On April 26th, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vanderkoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. Only in theaters April 26th. Rated R.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Welcome to the Big Suey, a podcast exclusive.
Risky move.
Just when you thought the show could not be more diluted.
Walk the plank.
Bam.
No more free Disney trips.
Now here's the marching band of nowhere.
Arr, matey.
Fat face.
Dan's been stress eating.
And the habitual liar.
Stugatz can't be trusted.
The Big Suey.
Yo ho, yo ho, a pirate radio life for me.
So how about this Bruce Drennan sound?
I watch this guy after every Browns game. It would be my appointment television. He would be on in the evening on Sports Time Ohio after every 1 o'clock Browns game because we only played at 1 o'clock for like 10 straight years. And it was just the best. And I'm so happy the rest of the nation found out who Bruce Drennan is.
Have you ever heard this guy before, Stugatz?
Never heard of Bruce
Okay,
Drennan.
So this is what I imagine is what we should put in a time capsule to explain to future generations after the Earth has been engulfed what sports radio should and would have been during its most glorious days. Because what you're about to hear is 2021 going nostalgic, going retro. You will recognize this, Stugatz. This is your sports radio growing up through the 70s, 80s, 90s, and today.
You can just simply pitch around Ramirez, keep walking him, don't give him anything to hit. The next guy, the good pitches down the middle, he won't swing at, but the ball's down around his ankles. He hits the shortstop into a double play. This has been going on for 2 years.
Right. I guess you missed a lot of the games that Reyes hit in the clutch last year, huh?
No.
Oh, yeah. You're an idiot.
No.
You're an idiot and you don't know baseball. You are an idiot. Listen,
no,
you're going to tell me you are judging. You don't know anything. You don't know squat, you stupid idiot. You're going to tell me you're going to make a judgment on the season after one game in 30-degree weather that proves what an ignoramus you are. Get off our show. Fair weather idiot. All right, we're going to move on here. 844-284-2891. Didn't even have the courtesy to call me by my name. I got a few names I'd like to call him.
Yes. That is great radio, man.
It's TV. It is a sports talk show that he was a radio Cleveland legend. And then he served hard time. That's why the show's called All Bets Are Off. Tax evasion, it was gambling adjacent, and Bruce Drennan got a TV deal, and he does a radio show on television, and I've seen him do several times worse than that, so many more times. I'm surprised that clip went viral. Trust me, that guy Just imagine this. That guy, when LeBron left Cleveland the first time.
What was your favorite part? Because it's really the building blocks of sports radio. For me, it was no, 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 no. Yes, 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 yes.
That was very good.
Idiot. Calling people an idiot.
Okay, but I have something I'd like to nominate here, and I'd like to listen to it again. And I think it's sort of when he throws him off the show and sings the word show.
You can just simply pitch around Ramirez, keep walking him, don't give him anything to hit. The next guy, the good pitch is down the middle, he won't swing at, but the ball's down around his ankles, he hits the shortstop into a double play. This has been going on for 2 years.
Right. I guess you missed a lot of the games that Reyes hit in the clutch last year, huh?
No.
Oh, yeah. You're an idiot. You're an idiot and you don't know baseball. You are an idiot. Listen,
no,
you're going to tell me you are judging. You don't know anything. You don't know squat, you stupid idiot. You're going to tell me you're going to make a judgment on the season after one game in 30-degree weather that proves what an ignoramus you are. Get off our show.
Mike. You're an idiot. No, I'm not.
Well, this, though, what Stugatz has seized on is absolutely correct. Because if I need to explain to these aliens who need to understand what sports radio is and was, and I need to condense it, they're like, look, we're in a big hurry. We just need something that's a little bite-sized to explain to us 50 years of sports radio. I would give them this.
No.
Oh, yeah.
That's it. That's the formula.
That was sexual, right, Chris?
Oh!
Chris, I saw you recoil. When we played that, you looked like we had punched you right in the chest. And it's because it sounded like piercing sexual pain, correct?
Yes. All those sounds, honestly, that Mike just ran through could be mistaken.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Wait a minute. I'd like to go back for a second. No, you just stop. Stop tickling me. Just for one. That guy. The Stugatz from Russia. The guy who ends one of the greatest calls ever with the dismount of just a bored bah. That's Russian for buh.
I like he had time to think about it. He was formulating his thoughts for like 2 full seconds, and that's what he could come up with, because this is what happened before.
Much!
Duh!
Don't we grow that much!
Duh!
What is that Russian for? Is that
da
yes?
Means yes.
Yes?
Yeah, it's Marv
call.
Albert.
Yeah.
Da!
It's the Russian Marv Albert. He did nail it. I'm sitting here making fun of it.
Apologize.
He nailed it.
Don't we grow that much?
Da!
Yes.
Da!
What do dumb people in Russia say?
Duh.
Like if duh means yes, then what noise do they make?
Is that
when
where the
idiot?
Sarcastic duh came from here in the United States?
We're all sleeper cells.
I cannot believe that we have gone 1 local hour and 7 minutes without discussing Paul Pierce on Instagram this weekend. Because if you missed it late at night, Paul Pierce was doing what I imagine Paul Pierce's life to be for a long time, just because you remember after he won the championship, we called him and he spent like 4 straight months at the spa in Vegas.
The truth.
He ended up living his biggest life. And so he, I want to say, makes the mistake, but I'm not sure it's a mistake if you're Paul Pierce. Now, It is something that ESPN will have to react to. I imagine they will have to punish it. What are you making faces about back there?
Who has the call with Paul Pierce? Well, how do you approach this with Paul Pierce? I think, honestly, the only way you could come at it is at a phrasing. The only way you can approach it is is COVID protocol? Because what? Guy was publicly thirsty? Guy was at a poker game? There was no nudity. It was close. For those that missed it, he was at some sort of poker game, which he's perpetually at a poker game. I've seen Paul Pierce like twice at the Bellagio poker room. Always at a poker game. And he was having fun talking to some dancers, scantily clad. There was some clapping going on in the background. I think you know what I mean. There was some drinks. There was some comedic value to him interviewing someone from Turkey.
Turkeys. Yeah. He said he's been to Turkeys.
He's been to Turkeys. And he seemed under the influence of alcohol because he was drinking alcohol. And you could just say your judgment was impaired because you're someone that's on ESPN. And why are you doing an IG live from a private dance party, private poker game, and private strip club, apparently. But how do you, what laws did he break?
Oh, it's great conversationally because it's not about breaking laws. What laws did we break? It's not about breaking laws.
No, you broke policy. Is there a policy? Is it written in the Disney corporate policy that you can't have strippers ass clapping at a poker game? Show me. Because I've done the compliance videos. Mark Hamill never covered that.
So I don't actually know what the rules are on this. I just want everyone in the audience to imagine this ending up on the desks of people at ESPN who, let's just say, don't have access to what that world is. That is not something that flies with Disney. I don't need to explain that. Chris Cody, before we started today, said, how would we have handled this a few months ago if we were still there? Which was an excellent question. And I imagine we would have, the way things were going at the end, be told that we weren't allowed to talk about it. I'm guessing that that's how that would have gone. There would have been some edict, sure. And then we would have spent the show bouncing against it because we would have been making subtle jokes about everything that was happening in the background with Paul Pierce. But I find a couple of things here interesting. First of all, ESPN doesn't get the Hall of Fame talent. That's one thing when it comes to the former players. Jerry Rice went through there for a little while. Emmitt Smith was there for a little while. But it generally doesn't happen where you see this guy make this kind of time to be a broadcaster, unless the money is larger and the work is less somewhere else at the network. So he has a value that they haven't had very often. They had Magic Johnson for a while. They haven't had very often a Hall of Famer that they could put up there. They've got Tracy McGrady now.
It's usually Tim Legler, who's excellent, by the way, but he was not a Hall of Fame player. Yes.
So you've got that. That's one of the things that's in play as a broadcaster. Now, what does the phone call go like? Because someone's got to talk to him.
I hope it's Chuck.
Someone's gonna talk to him. It has to be.
We were theorizing back here that the people talking about it over ESPN airwaves might get in bigger trouble than Paul Pierce himself, because again, like, you're gonna come at Paul Pierce and you're gonna say that's a bad look, you shouldn't be doing that, but I guarantee you there's nothing in their policy that dictates exactly what happened, and it's pretty subjective. I'm sure there's morals clauses in talent agreements, but immoral, you can have a different standard for that. He didn't do anything illegal, so I think they would just try to move on and move away from it.
Oh, but it's misogynistic, and it's just such a bad look. It's the...
Of having strippers over is misogynistic, for the truth?
Look, we can sit here and we can be Miami about it and be strip club culture about it. What I am saying to you is these two things do not merge. Disney and the strip club do not merge. And so there is simply no way.
Why'd they hire Paul Pierce then?
Why'd they hire Rush Limbaugh?
I know, but don't you think they know what Paul Pierce is?
Kind of like an open secret about Paul Pierce.
So you guys believe that this will just go unspoken? Now, Paul Pierce joked about it because he's a Hall of Famer. He doesn't need the job. Paul Pierce said good morning the next day at 7 p.m. via Twitter.
Right, he doesn't care. He doesn't care. He probably doesn't need the money.
Well, let's bring it to me. He would probably have a better idea of how ESPN's NBA side would handle this.
I think Dan's right. I think Paul is the unique example of, he's a Hall of Fame player, a Finals MVP. By the way, playing for a team that many people in the Northeast, a.k.a. Bristol, love. They love the Celtics, right? And so he's got as much cachet, and he's an interesting, funny guy on air. It's not like he's bland or vanilla. So it's one of those things where I think they're just going to hope it basically blows over. Don't say anything. And no one say anything. No one, no ESPN talent mention this or comment on it. And then by next week, we'll have forgotten. And I think that's a great policy, because guess what? Most people don't care. People got up in a tizzy, and then by tomorrow night, they won't even remember any of this.
Oh, but it's a really bad spot for Rachel Nichols, for example, to be, you know, people are asking Paul Pierce.
But that's not Paul Pierce's fault. I mean, I guess it is, because he started the IG, but we're going to punish Paul Pierce because of random commenter?
It's Paul Pierce's fault because of starting up his camera as, look, man, I'm not a prude about these things, okay? I want everyone to have maximum freedom to live their life. And if you want to be a freak publicly, it's not for Disney to say. I just know what we just got out of. And I imagine this crossing the desk of someone like David Brofsky, and it's just not flying there. Like, and so now the question becomes, and the part that I find more interesting about this is, how do you handle it if you have an objection, but he's a legitimate Hall of Famer? It's the same sports argument we're having all the time. There are any number of people who would get in more trouble for this, but what do you do if it's Paul Pierce and there's a certain assumption, because of how Paul Pierce has lived for a long time, that this is probably what he's doing on a Friday night?
Seth Greenberg would be fired, right?
I would love to see it with Seth Greenberg. Charles Barkley, this is an ESPN conversation, not really a Paul Pierce conversation, because if Charles Barkley has the same IG Live, I know he has no social media, but if he has the same IG
he's
Live...
He's unique, though. He can do whatever he wants.
We're
like
all
somehow
laughing. Exactly.
Yeah, but he's a unique talent.
Shaq does it. I think Shaq can get away with it too. It's just, it's an ESPN thing, really, because it's just a little bit more buttoned up, a lot of it more buttoned up.
We'll talk to John Amici about that and other things later in the show.
Hey, it's Mike, and I know you were hoping for an update on those fishtail ponds in my backyard. Well, have I got news for you? I actually got lighting installed, and I can change it with an app. Beautiful fishtail ponds lit up red, depending on my mood. If my hockey team wins, we light those suckers red. Anyways, I like being outside. I like looking at those fishtail palms. You love hearing about it. But what's in my hand other than my app changing the lighting? A Miller Lite is in my hand. That's right, because I know when a Miller Lite is in my hand, I make a good time, Miller time. I take that first sip, I know immediately I made the right call. Nothing goes with my fishtail palms quite like a Miller Lite. It makes everything so much better. And I'm going to have some people over. I'm going to toss them that beautiful white can. They're going to say, heck yeah. And they're going to have that first sip and know, just like me, that they made the right call. Times change, but you can always enjoy the great taste of Miller Lite. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan. Or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces.
Is Paul Pierce old enough where we can wonder if he knew he was on Instagram Live or thought he was just recording a video?
It's come a long way.
So here's the thing, because I saw a lot of comments, people saying, oh, he didn't know what he was doing. Oh, Paul looks like mentally weary, or, you know, like, I'm like, the guy's drunk. Like, isn't it obvious he's drunk? And he's like, you know what? I'm going to throw this on Instagram Live. Was it the smartest decision or the best thought out decision? No, but it's like, well, stop making excuses. He knew what he was doing.
Well, you say drunk, and I assumed high.
He was smoking a blunt in one of those videos. Yeah. I'm like,
it's a safe assumption.
It's a good assumption.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it was a cigar. We don't know what was in it.
We know what was in it.
He had marijuana leaves on his IG story beforehand.
Didn't he also have a mishap when, it's a good question by
Chris. He has a CBD company, by the way.
Didn't he have a mishap with a rocket emoji?
Rather than send a rocket emoji, you just sent a picture of a rocket emoji when they were doing that DeAndre Jordan thing.
I'm telling you, life goes quickly, man, where all of a sudden
those things happen.
All of a sudden you think you got the social media game down, and the next thing you know, you're 43 years old, you're Paul Pierce, and you have that thing on live, and you have no idea.
That's the truth.
I think this is good for ESPN. There, I said it.
No.
Yeah.
What?
I'm going to go Chris Cody Zion Nike shoe on you all.
Explain how it's good, Mike.
This is more people talking about Paul Pierce today.
He's the only one that goes viral on ESPN. He's the only person that says anything you remember out of ESPN's NBA coverage. He goes viral all the time. You have Paul Pierce sucks chant. I think he's a great addition to ESPN's coverage, and this boosts his legacy as a controversial talent. This is good, I think.
This
gets people talking.
This is a even better question than the one that I was asking, and I ask this as someone who has just been through that labyrinth. Does ESPN actually want viral if the viral is not the kind of viral they want? I ask you that question sincerely. Yes, Paul Pierce all the time goes viral, but it's never because what he's actually doing is great. It's usually because they're making fun of Paul Pierce for being a poor symbol for sports analysis.
I mean, there aren't many companies that want a video going viral of an employee with strippers who's high and drunk. I mean,
it's not. And now you guys are trying to make me think that Disney wants that. Now you guys.
It's like, a crazy mind trick.
You're just taking a lot. Logic leap to strippers. They were clothed. Yeah, they were okay. Dancers.
Dancers. Fair enough. Fair
what
enough.
What would happen at Metalark if Stugatz did that?
I was just gonna ask. What would happen? What would Skip do if Chris Cody had a video like this come out?
We can talk about Stugatz. Yeah. We don't need to make him.
Guys, let's go back to Chris.
Guys. As the resident get in trouble for things that went viral that shouldn't have gone viral, guy. Let me just say right now, Metalark is not prepared for a Paul Pierce level. Event. Let me just say that right now. As a guy who had to get called in the skipper's office because of a GIF. GIF, by the way, that was nothing but Tobey Maguire shooting his web stream out there and then it landing somewhere else on a very happy face, my dad.
Wait a minute. You got called into the office of John Skipper and you're not being paid around here? You were suspended. I know you were suspended, but I thought we did that.
2 weeks without pay.
Theater of the mind.
Jesus. I mean, I think you got to one up Paul Pierce. That's what's going on here.
I love that. I'm in the right city for it.
Yeah.
That when Amin first got in, he's like, I agree with Dan. It's inappropriate. I was like, wow, Amin right here. This is rich.
Yeah, he brought it back around though at the end. He saved it. Yeah.
I didn't say I agree with Dan that it's inappropriate. I said I agree with Dan in that he's a Hall of Famer and that's something they don't have many of, so they got to hold on to it. With both hands. Correct. Phrasing. Jesus.
There's so many great screen caps of that.
You guys put me in such a shitty position there. Everyone enjoying the strip club. We've got no women here, and we're just sitting here fucking masturbating.
And I'm like, what's bad about Rachel Nichols? Terrible look for me. But
it was everybody. Like, it was everybody.
I had to answer for it. Like, forget Rachel. I don't even work there. Why are people asking me about Paul Pierce?
I had nothing to do with it, Dan.
The Dan Le Batard Show with Stugatz is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's time for a self-check-in. How's your social battery right now? Is it drained or bursting with energy? Similar to how a battery stores energy before eventually running out, individuals with a social battery may feel a need to recharge or withdraw from social situations after a certain amount of time. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with work or social gatherings. What's the right amount of socializing for you, and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/DLB today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/DOB.
Roy, did you watch the Verses last night?
No, I just read everybody's Twitter comments. It seemed to be a good show.
What? You love Earth, Wind, and Fire.
I was tired.
Roy, it was long. Roy, I heard that it was amazing, and I don't have... I'm not a one. You are the only black person that I have talked to since this happened that did not love everything about what was happening. It wasn't even Earth, Wind, and Fire. It's that the Isley Brothers at 79, they will drop your grandma's panties with their voice. They will still get out there and they will still do it damn near 80 years old.
Hey, they've been doing this thing for 70 years, man. They're the oldest group that I know in music. So and they're still doing it. And I saw the outfits on Twitter. People put up Ronald Isley's little get up there with the fur coat and the beard and the hat. It just looked amazing. But it seemed to have been a good show. I really enjoyed everybody's comments on Twitter and how it went. It's a lot of nostalgia and everybody was happy seeing it.
Dan, you said people's grandmas would drop their panties. I don't know what social media you were on, because all the women in mine of an age of anything between 25 and 35 were all swooning, rethinking whatever boundaries they had about how old they would date someone older than them.
That is the power right there. It does not seem like you give me all the people doing that right now today. I don't mean to go old man nostalgia on you, but you are not going to be saying that about the modern pop star when he or she is 79 years old.
Versus is the greatest thing to come out of the pandemic. I'm including Zoom on that.
Oh, put it on the poll, Guillermo. Best thing to come out of the pandemic, Versus or Zoom?
Versus is incredible, and you want to watch the entire thing because you don't want to miss out, because Black Twitter is so influential, and it's just incredible music moments. I mean, the Jeezy Gucci Mane thing was like, where were you in time type of moment. And with the really sad news about what happened to DMX, DMX was one of the first verses out there. I believe it was with Snoop Dogg. That was also one of those where are you going to be moment, or like where you were moments. D'Angelo had an epic one. The Babyface one with Teddy Riley, and Teddy Riley's having all sorts of computer issues. Every time these verses deliver.
And the best thing about them is the storytelling, when they'll tell you what happened when they were making this song, or the first time they heard the song getting played, or the first time they heard the other person's song. That's my favorite thing, was when you hear them and the respect and mutual admiration talking about the first time we heard Snoop. We were like, oh my God, this is incredible. And, you know, obviously the whole East Coast, West Coast thing was a thing back then, but you hear the artist talk like, we never bought into that. We were listening to everybody's music and we loved it.
Mike, you sort of skipped past something there that probably merits a little bit more attention. DMX, I don't know what the latest reports are, because there were some conflicting ones over the weekend, but it appears that DMX, according to many of the reports, had an overdose and is on life support. And DMX is a monster in terms of being an influential figure across the 90s, and the fact that he got into, it's funny to think about now, but the fact that he made his way into those Seagal movies and made his way into one of these crossover events, and then what we've been watching over the last 10 years, because he was scary and he was a personality that was fierce. His life has seemed out of control for a really long time, where drug addiction is an obvious problem with him.
Scary may sound like code. So let me do this through a prism of like 13-year-old Mike listening. It's dark and hell is hot. The growling, the barking, the whole Rough Riders, the pendant, and all of it. It was, whoa, that was a shock to the system, because you had gangster rap and this was like the next evolution of it, where we were going to make a commercial. When I was growing up, DMX was the biggest rapper. I know the video from his Woodstock performance, because he was crossing over. The video from his Woodstock performance went viral again. And I remember as I got older, wow, DMX is actually kind of small. I thought this guy was larger than life. And
because he was always shirtless and muscular.
His catalog, you could sack that guy's catalog
against
almost anybody. From the 90s, because Nas is respected. Nas is still winning Grammys. Nas didn't have the commercial hits that DMX had. DMX.
That's my man's in them.
We bring in fake DMX.
I'm saying, that's my man's in them. When the dog wants to bite, the dog gonna bite.
I remember DMX played a show down here during Art Basel, and I fought like hell to make it in that show. I dropped every... I never do that. Like Disney, ESPN, I dropped everything that I could and I got in the building. I was like, Bomani, get here. Bomani couldn't get in that building. Bomani tried the same thing. I got in that building. I still had the videos on my phone. It was incredible, because it took me back to a time, because he was, think about DMX influencing me. I'm nothing like DMX or anything that he rapped about, but shit went hard.
When you say taking you back to a time, there was something that I saw this weekend, and I genuinely was a little bit confused. So, Stugatz, please explain to me something that's going on with your Knicks, because Derrick Rose brings me back to a time. And your Knicks, I don't know if you've seen here, Stugatz, but this is it's a pretty funny thing because Reggie Bullock was saying he's not afraid of the Nets' big three because he says we've got a big five. I mean, what are you making faces about? Are you saying that the Knicks do indeed have a big five? Is that what are you making faces? The Knicks fan here is laughing the way you're supposed to laugh at Reggie Bullock when he says we have a big five, but you're not laughing.
I'm not laughing because I thought of Big Five Sports, the store that sells a lot of secondhand sporting equipment, and I thought the Knicks are pretty much like a Big Five. Yeah.
Okay, so what I wanted to ask you, though, is this. Because of Derrick Rose and because Adidas just came out with the YZY Rose sneaker, and I ask this genuinely, just because I do not understand the sneaker game, and I am trending... Uh-oh, what did I just do?
YZY?
What did I do?
Just put it all together. Spell it out phonetically.
What is it? I'm sorry.
YZY. Go ahead. Just try to make it.
YZY.
No. Just make the sound make that word, comes out when you make it a word.
I don't know what you're asking.
YZY. Put the sounds together.
YZY.
No.
No, Dan.
No.
Dan, what sound does a Y make?
Yeah.
E. Easy E.
Easy. No, Dan.
I'm doing it in Spanish.
No, you just made him a... It's a rapper, but not the same rapper. Come on. We can get here. It's Adidas YZY. Come on, Sugats, can you help me?
Regardless, we've arrived at a fine, right? And a massive one. Yeezy?
My man.
Yeah! Yeah!
Or as Stan likes to call them, the Easy E's.
He did say in the front end he's not really into the sneaker game.
Well, I don't think that saves me from anything that just happened here. But can you tell me
you hooked on phonics?
Whether these are sneakers that somebody would buy? Like, what are you buying if you're buying the Derrick Rose style at this point?
Well, I mean, if it's a collaboration, you're buying anything that Yeezy's doing. But Derrick Rose still has major capital. He's still wildly popular. China especially. And when I went to Europe, this was while he was injured and missing out an entire year. Derrick Rose was, outside of LeBron, the biggest star in the sport, bigger than Kevin Durant. I'm actually really impressed because he's turned himself into a pretty good basketball player. What is he, 36% from three? He's wildly popular. Will always be Derrick Rose.
I could see those shoes, actually. I'm not big in the sneaker game either. But
those shoes are so stupid.
Yeah, but
they're going to sell a ton, but they're so stupid.
Right, but that's what I'm saying, Bill. I could see, though, because Derrick Rose is kind of popular still, right, a former MVP, I could see those shoes selling for a lot. I really get.
But I'm asking you in terms of brand. When I think of Derrick Rose, what I think of is a guy whose career has been short-circuited from getting to the kind of greatness that we thought he was going to achieve by injury after injury. And he's been a nomad here. You tell me, when I think of Derrick Rose, when I think of people who get sneakers, I don't think of people who bounce around from team to team. How many teams has he played for?
He's played for, I want to say, 7. This is his second stint with the Knicks. I think Derrick Rose actually has, and let's keep the off-the-court stuff because that's loaded, but I think in terms of his playing career, it's a really nice story. What is happening with Derrick Rose right now? The fact that he's at 32 years old, I thought this dude was absolutely done. I thought his game was going to age out naturally because he was this inefficient scorer type. The fact that he could actually reshape himself into a more efficient ball player at 32, sustaining the lower leg injuries that he has and being an important piece, he's a good player for the New York Knicks. He went from a punchline to the Knicks to being someone that can really help them solidify themselves as a playoff team. It's a really cool story.
Yeah, part of it, Mike, is he had to reimagine his game, and that took a while, right? When he first left Chicago, he was those first couple of stops in New York and then Minnesota. He was still kind of trying to be Derrick Rose. And then towards the end of his Minnesota time, he figured out, well, I can be a really good complementary player, someone who comes off the bench, still used for my scoring capabilities, but also get better at three-point shooting, something that he was terrible at when he was an MVP. He was a bad three-point shooter. He got better at that. He got better at kind of containing his scoring outbursts into smaller pockets of time and not the 35 minutes you're accustomed to when you're a star. And I think now, you're right, he's a big reason why they've been successful this year. And I think we talked about it last year, before the pandemic. A lot of people thought the Lakers were going to trade for Derrick Rose because they needed that kind of player off the bench.
Do you think Bullock said when they have a big five, he was referring to Nerlens Noel?
I can't name the big five. I can't tell you what that big
they don't
five,
have them, Dan.
What the big five is that he is speaking of. I guess he's saying they're starters. I don't know.
Well, Noel's a starter. So is Alfred Payton.
All right. I want to talk to Amin, since we have him here, about a couple of basketball things. I mean, because Drew Holiday just signed for 4 years, $160 million. Now, the Bucks, when Giannis hasn't played, it's a small sample, but when Giannis hasn't played, he's shot 60% from the field, 61% from three. He's 25, 6, and 10, and they're 3-0 when Giannis doesn't play. I think all of us flinched a little bit. And Drew Holiday's a good player, but 4 years, $160 million, that's all in. Milwaukee's all in on trying to do this right now for Giannis, correct?
Yeah, and the feeling is this is a guy who right now helps their team very much. It keeps their core together. And also, remember, it's Milwaukee. They're being very realistic about their ability to attract free agents on the open market, even free agents of his caliber, of Drew Holiday's caliber. It's hard for Milwaukee to get these players. So they've got a guy. He fits the system. He's of the right age frame, right? He's not too old. He's not too young. And they decided to lock it up. Now, is $160 million a little rich for my blood? Yes. For Drew Holiday, I think that might be a reach. But I get why. They're baking in the inherent tax of where Milwaukee, it's harder for us to attract that caliber of player in free agency.
I mean, I don't think it's a reach if Giannis likes Drew Holiday and wants him to be there. So you spend the money because Giannis wants him to be there, and you're trying to keep Giannis at this point. And plus, you have to be comforted by the fact that if Giannis goes down, you have a player who's good enough to have them at 3-0 when Giannis isn't in the lineup.
Okay, well, we're not going to talk about that last part because that's just small sample size gone crazy.
3-0.
But the reality, Stugatz, is, yeah, you want your star to be happy to a point, not to the point where you are doing things that are detrimental to running your team. If you think about this going far back a little bit, but the Toronto Raptors, when Vince Carter was coming up and they were going to the Eastern Conference Finals and they were playing, or semifinals, and they were playing really well, and Vince's contract extension was coming up, and they said, he likes playing with these guys. Let's keep him. So they gave Alvin Williams a bunch of money. They gave Antonio Davis a bunch of money. They gave Junkyard Dog Jerome Williams a bunch of money. And then what happened was, you know, in a couple of years, Vince Carter said, well, I don't want to be here anymore. He left, and they were stuck with these incredibly toxic contracts just hanging all over their cap sheets. I'm not saying that Drew Holiday is that caliber of players, those guys I just named. I'm just saying, like, you can't be in the habit of paying everybody everything because, ooh, the main player likes it. Hell, I don't even know why I went back to Toronto. You guys experienced it here in Miami when a bunch of deals and Shabazz Napier gets drafted and all that, and then LeBron says, peace out. You can't play it that way. You still have to have some measure of kind of idea or big picture of the flexibility you need.
Is there a way for you at all to quantify or help us understand the advantage that you're talking about that Miami has, that people want to come here for less because they want to live in Miami or be in Miami, versus this tax that you say in a salary cap sport, right? Where the winning is in the margins, where half the teams are in a place like Milwaukee, they have to pay a tax if they want a guy to sign long term there. So explain to me the empirical edge that is in real terms when you're talking about a salary cap sport. I mean,
well, in a salary cap sport, every dollar you spend here is a dollar you can't spend there, right? So that's why you're always in this constant push and pull. It's not necessarily this guy isn't worth this money. It's if I pay him this, I won't have the ability or the wherewithal to get the rest of this team in order. A great example, this is Kobe Bryant. Kobe Bryant, top of his game, no question moneymaker for the Lakers, but they gave him a deal that essentially was a deal with the devil in terms of, we're not going to get better as a team. It's just going to be Kobe Bryant and them boys for the last couple of years of his career. And that's what they did. And as soon as he retired, things started to gain a little bit of flexibility. But with regards to a team like Miami, Dan, I think the way they do it is they find guys that are undervalued. I think that's Miami's big draw. It's not that they play in Miami. It's that they're able to take guys on the penny and turn them into dollars. And then those dollars eventually leave, and then they do it all over again. But in terms of attracting free agents, because of the way the salary cap is set up and because we have maximum salaries, it's not really, for the top-level players, that's not an issue, right? We all know what LeBron's going to get. He's getting the max. We all know what Giannis is getting. He's getting the max. The question is those guys who are not those top-level players but are still pretty good, the Jrue Holidays of the world. And for the Jrue Holidays of the world, if you're Milwaukee, you got to pay $160 million because, man, let's be real, he would probably take less to come play in Miami. And it's not necessarily all about the city. It's about a lot of things. But the reality is when you are a small market team, you have to overpay for guys to keep guys just so they don't get into free agency because it gets to a point where you're not going to be able to afford them or, excuse me, you're not going to be able to pay them something that will make them change their mind.
Another thing I wanted to toss into your lap here, Amin, is that Stugat said last week that Zion Williamson is a bust, and I have in front of me some numbers here. LeBron in his second year, 27 points a game. Zion, 26 points a game. Same number of rebounds per game. And Zion is shooting 62%, has fewer turnovers, while LeBron shot 47%. Also from three, Stugat, Zion 35%. And LeBron also 35%.
I have some numbers also, 22 and 27. Never been to a Final Four, never been to the playoffs, never really done anything. I mean, doesn't make anyone better. I mean, just has a losing record.
He's their point forward right now. What do you tell me it doesn't make anybody better?
22 and 27. What did you understand about that?
But what was LeBron's record his second year in the league?
I don't know, and I don't care.
It wasn't it wasn't as good as 22 and 27.
Right.
I'm not calling him LeBron. I'm just saying if we're doing that game, then I tell you right now, LeBron, his first 3 years in the league, they were not a good team. I think they barely got to 500, I think, by his third year.
They made the playoffs his third year, I think they did. I could be wrong on that. But you see Zion being a guy who could be the best guy on a team and lead that team to an NBA championship because I just don't see it. You could see that?
Yeah, I do. Because you look at what he does really well is – score highly efficiently, right? I heard you guys talking to Daryl Morey the other day, and Daryl said, you guys keep talking about all I love is threes. Like, no, all I love is winning. And it turns out a good way to win is by hitting a lot of threes because it carries a high expected point value. But another way to do it is making all of your shots around the rim, which is what Ben Simmons does. And so Zion is like the apex predator of just finishing around the rim. And for a guy who's not really that tall, or incredibly lanky. That's pretty amazing that he's able to do it at that clip. You talk about 25 points a game at 60% from the field. I want to say there are like five people in the history of the NBA who have done that. It's like Shaq, it's Wilt, and maybe a couple other guys. So what he does at a very elite level. And as long as you build around him now, can I put Zion on a team like the Timberwolves and then they're going to go to the playoffs? Probably not.
No, but this is what I'm saying. I mean, LeBron, his second year was 29-20 after 49 games. Okay. And LeBron never had teammates like Brendan Ingram and Lonzo Ball. Like Zion's got a good team around him and that team's not very good. And so I question whether or not he can be the best guy on a team that wins a championship because he's got good surrounding. LeBron would have killed to have a guy like Brendan Ingram early on. He didn't have it.
I made the same sort of analysis on Jimmy Butler last year and they came down close to winning the championship with Jimmy Butler. The idea that Zion Williamson is scoring 26 points a game and shooting 62%, there's simply not a way you're going to convince me that that's a bad thing. Like there's no circumstance under which that's going to be that I'm ever going to get to bust. And but I believe you will get to I believe you will get to the grave with that as your analysis on whoever's left in sports at that point, probably Rich Hill, where you're just at the very end of your career, just saying you can never win a championship with that guy. Those are your last words, with that guy as your best player.
I also can't take him hyping up Ingram as a teammate when he fails to get his first name right every time.
Brendan?
It's Brandon.
I am in no position as the inventor of YZY sneakers to be making fun of anybody today. Juju in the chat, you've got and in the shadows in the chat said that I totally deserve the white guys on my YZYs. How did you not hit me?
Good producing, Juju. Hey, it's Mike, and I know you were hoping for an update on those fishtail ponds in my backyard. Well, have I got news for you. I actually got lighting installed.
and I can change it with an app. Beautiful fishtail palms lit up red, depending on my mood. If my hockey team wins, we light those suckers red. Anyways, I like being outside. I like looking at those fishtail palms. You love hearing about it. But what's in my hand other than my app changing the lighting? A Miller Lite is in my hand. That's right, because I know when a Miller Lite is in my hand, I make a good time, Miller time. I take that first sip. I know immediately I made the right call. Nothing goes with my fishtail palms quite like a Miller Lite. It makes everything so much better. And I'm going to have some people over. I'm going to toss them that beautiful white can. They're going to say, heck yeah. And they're going to have that first sip and know, just like me, that they made the right call. Times change, but you can always enjoy the great taste of Miller Lite. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan. Or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces.
The Dan Lepetit Show with Stu Gatz is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's time for a self-check-in. How's your social battery right now? Is it drained or bursting with energy? Similar to how a battery stores energy before eventually running out, individuals with a social battery may feel a need to recharge or withdraw from social situations after a certain amount of time. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with work or social gatherings. What's the right amount of socializing for you, and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/DLB today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/DLB.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.